Peter Weston is a senior principal research scientist at the Royal Botanic Garden in Sydney, and one of their guests from China is Dr. Ren Zongqin, who works in southwest China. He's with David Fisher.
You are from the Kunming Institute of Botany,
yes,
in Yunnan Province. For those people unfamiliar, yeah, with the geography of China, could you place Yunnan Province for us and Kunming?
Yunnan Province is at southwestern China. The altitude of our field site at Lijiang, it's a snow mountain. It's about 3,300 meters high. So most of the vegetation are pine trees, but the different species with other continents.
I would expect so. Yeah. And is it covered with snow for much of the year?
At the top of the mountain, they covered by snow.
Now, one of the towns in that area is Shangri-La.
Yes.
Is it exotic and a mystical place like paradise?
Yes, still very beautiful. Have many interesting things there. Tibetan culture and the biodiversity of flora and the fauna.
Now, your area is reproductive biology of native species. How well have the native species been studied?
I think the flora of China is well known, but their ecological aspects are not well studied because we have about 30,000 species of angiosperm, but only few of them are studied about their reproductive ecology.
A few out of 30,000?
Yes, that's true. Because Chinese scientists only studied the pollination ecology since 20 years ago, I think.
Now, yeah, there are some rare species there, yes, including orchids.
Yes.
Do they behave like other orchids in attracting insects using imitation?
Yes, that's very interesting because in China we have about 2,500 species of orchids.
2,500 species of orchid?
Yes, that's true.
So what pollination processes do they exhibit?
Snipper orchids attract bumblebee.
Bumblebees.
Yeah, bumblebee as their pollinators.
Bumblebees are under pressure in most parts of the world. Are they under similar pressures in these Chinese Himalayan mountains?
I think so, but we don't have this kind of evidence yet. But we have very good evidence of decline of our native honeybee. We have one species of honeybee that is very common in China. It's Apis cerana. Since the introduction of the most common honeybee, our native honeybee population declined.
By how much?
More than half.
And has that had effect on crops?
Yes, that's true. Like apple production in North China, we have many farmers that need to do hand pollination.
Hand pollination?
Yes.
That would be very labor intensive.
Yes.
And so what have you got? Hordes of workers going through moving pollen around.
Yes, they need to pick the pollen from flowers to put the pollen grain to the stigma one by one.
Really?
Yeah.
One of your techniques is involving capturing odors. How do you do that?
Oh, it's a very simple traditional way is to use a scent trap.
And once you've collected it, what do you do? Analyze it chemically?
Yes. So you know what compounds in your flower. You bag the flour, use an oven bag.
Oven bag?
Yeah, why we use that? Because many plastic bags, they have their own smell.
What, and oven bags don't have that?
Yeah, oven bag, you put it in the oven, that's, you can heat them, so that's no smell at all.
Right. So you get the bag.
Cover
the inflorescence, the flowering part.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And what?
Wait maybe 30 minutes, you sample the scent.
Oh, and then you sample the scent from within the bag. Now, what have you got there? You've got a bit of technology you're waving around. What's that?
This is an air sampler.
Air sampler?
Yeah.
What have we got there? We've got a sort of a box and a big floppy tube.
Yeah, you can put half of the tube into the oven bag.
Yes.
This is a pump. They just draw the air flow.
Oh, and then collects it somehow.
Yeah. And right. If the smell of the flower are very strong,
yeah,
you don't need too much time. You just need maybe 1 hour or 2 hours. If the flower scent is not so strong, you need to do that more time.
A bigger sample.
Yes.
Right. Just turn that on for me. Let's hear it. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
So that's just a little pump.
Yes, a micro pump.
Is the weather and the climate up there doing weird things as it is in many other parts of the world?
Yes, because at a high elevation, the weather changes so quickly. The high mountain always covered by the clouds. That means fogs and rains.
So unusual.
Yeah.
Unusual amounts of rain and fog.
Yeah, yeah.
What's been the impact on plants?
Most important impact are from the global warming.
What has that impact
been? Like a serious drought at the springtime, our orchids cannot flower after 10 years of drought. So their population declined seriously. 5 years ago, I went to one of my sites. I can find the 100s of Cypripedium orchids.
Yeah.
But now, at the same time, when I go back there, I can find no flowering plants.
So they're really struggling.
Yes. You can see some plants, but it won't produce any flower.
So do you think the seeds are still in the environment waiting for the right conditions to germinate?
For orchids, it's harder to see. I monitor that site for several years. I didn't find any fruits. So that means those seeds in that environment for several years.
There are seed banks in various places, including here in Australia and at Kew Botanic Gardens. Do you have seed banks in China?
Yeah, we have a huge seed bank, our institute. We call that Southwestern China Geoplasm Bank.
Are people actively collecting seeds and sending them in?
Yes, I also collect the seeds for our seed bank.
And is it just the orchids that are struggling or other plants as well?
I think other plants are also struggling, like primula, very beautiful flowers. Many years ago, we have many white meadow, but now many places, they dry out. So those plants, they just can't live like the white meadow, they cannot live longer.
Well, we don't hear a lot about the natural environment in China. The images we get are of sprawling cities and massive development projects and factories and pollution. It's good to know that there are some undisturbed areas and that there's funding for people like you to study what's there.
We have many good forests, especially at Southwestern China. This is a biodiversity hotspot.
A biodiversity hotspot.
Yes, you can see there's a mega biodiversity hotspot.
A mega?
Yes, because we have a large number of plants and of animals.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for coming in.
Okay, thank you.
Dr. Ren, an associate professor, Ren Chongqin from the Kunming Institute of Botany in Yunnan, with David Fisher.